Greetings in the precious name of Jesus. It is because of him that we gather together this morning, and it's an honor and a joy to gather together. And this, I hadn't known what songs John was going to lead, but this last one is just so solid. If we seek his face and turn from our wicked ways, then God will hear. He'll forgive our sins and he'll heal our land. And that's what we long for. In his time on earth, Jesus spoke extensively about his kingdom. He showed how fundamentally different his kingdom is from the kingdom of darkness that rules much of the world. The kingdom of heaven, Jesus' kingdom, is one of sacrificial love, of righteousness, peace, justice, and glory. His kingdom is one that brings redemption and restoration. And through his death, he made a way for us to come into that kingdom. And he actually invites us to join in the work of his kingdom. We're not just coming into his kingdom, but we can join in the work of his kingdom. Our all-powerful king wants us to join him in his kingdom's work. That's an honor. Let's be grateful and remember that. So what does it look like to be involved in the work of the kingdom of heaven? This morning, I'd like to look briefly at three ways we join in the work of Jesus' kingdom. The first way is by learning the Father's heart. Learning the Father's heart is at the core of joining in the work of Jesus' kingdom. If we don't know the Father's heart, we're not in his kingdom and we're not helping build his kingdom. In Matthew 7, 21 to 23, Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name?' And then will I declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" This is sobering. But Jesus is saying, well, these people, they said, we prophesied, we cast out demons, we did mighty works in the name of Jesus. But Jesus is saying, no, you didn't. You did not know the will of my Father. So let's learn the will of our Father, learn to know his heart. We need to learn what God treasures in and delights in and loves, but also what he hates and what makes him sad. And we need to learn to treasure, delight in, love, hate, and be saddened by the same things he does. The kingdom of heaven that Jesus speaks about mirrors the Father's heart. So we need to know our Father's heart. How do we do this? It's pretty intuitive, I think, but we spend time in Scripture. His word, his written word for us that documents how he's been at work in the world. We see how he works and we see who he is. We spend time in prayer. We can come before God because of the blood of Jesus and talk to him and listen to him. That's a gift. And we spend time with his people. If we spend time with people who know the Father's heart, it shapes who we are. And we learn to know his heart better. So the first way is learning the Father's heart. A second way we join in the work of Jesus' kingdom is practicing intercessory prayer. God loves when his children ask him for things. Matthew 7, 9 to 11 says, Jesus is speaking, he says, "Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" And how much more will God want to give good things if we're asking for other people? Isn't that the heart of, when Jesus came, he came to serve others. So when we come before the throne, let's be asking, interceding for other people, because that's a powerful way we can be part of the work of God's kingdom. Charles Spurgeon has, I found his teaching on prayer helpful. He has a sermon entitled The Throne of Grace. And he says that we're coming before the throne. When we're coming in prayer, we're coming before the throne. So this requires humility. We are worthy through the blood of Jesus, but it still requires humility. We're coming before the throne of the Most High. But he also says we can come with, he says, enlarged expectations. We're not coming to the back door begging for a few scraps. We're coming to the throne. We can ask for big things. Because God's a big God and he wants to give good things. So let's remember that when we come before the throne and come before the throne for others. Spurgeon, in a sermon appropriately entitled Intercessory Prayer, says, "There is nothing that intercessory prayer cannot do. Believer, you have a mighty engine in your hand. Use it well. Use it constantly. Use it now with faith, and you shall surely prevail." So let's use this engine that we have. We can come before God and intercede for others. It's a blessing and a gift. And a third way that we can participate in Jesus' work is by pursuing Christ-centered relationships. God is a relational God. He cares about people, and he loves each person. He cares about what matters to each person, and he wants them to come to him. Being part of Jesus' kingdom should radically reshape how we view the world and how we view people. We recognize that people are image bearers. People are created in the image of God. So how we interact with them and the relationships we have with them matters so much. Lewis, in his famous sermon, The Weight of Glory, says, "It is a serious thing to live in a society of possible gods and goddesses, to remember that the dullest, most uninteresting person you can talk to may one day be a creature which, if you saw it now, you would be strongly tempted to worship, or else a horror and a corruption such as you now meet, if at all, only in a nightmare." And this is, he realizes that each person is created in the image of God, and our eternal destiny. If we choose the ways of Jesus, then as we come into his kingdom, when he returns and we're part of his kingdom, we are going to be, he says, we would be something we'd now be strongly tempted to worship if we saw it now. We are going to be incredible because of the work of Jesus. But if we don't recognize Jesus, then we'll become something, be a horror and a corruption. So this should make us long for each person to come to Christ, and not just to come to Christ once, say, "I want to follow you, Jesus," but to come to him over and over again and to live a life that flows out of who the Father is and that honors Jesus. I think there's two broad categories of relationships, those we have with non-believers and those we have with believers, and they're both important, and there's a lot of similarities, but there's also differences. For non-believers, I think one thing for us to remember is the Great Commission. Jesus told us to go out to baptize and make disciples, and that's a really good reason to want to have relationships with non-believers, but also just realizing that they too, even though they haven't recognized Jesus yet, they are made in the image of God. They're worthy of our time and of our care. And Jesus calls us to love our neighbor as ourselves. That includes those in the brotherhood and those not in the brotherhood yet. But we long for them to be part of it. We also have a very high calling in how we love in the brotherhood. John especially points this out both in his gospel and the epistles. But here is Jesus speaking, John 15, 12 to 13. "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." That's a high calling. He asks us to love in the brotherhood as he loved us. And he goes on to say, "Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends." What he was asking wasn't empty. He said to love as I have loved. And then he says, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down his life." And then he did that. He laid down his life for us. Are we willing to love at that cost? 1 John 4:7, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God." So we're supposed to love as Jesus loves, and to love because love is from God, and we want to follow his ways. And as I'm speaking here, I'm realizing this is something I have so far to go in. It's so easy to care about what's affecting me and to think about that, and I come to church, and, well, how can God minister to me today? Well, yes, that's true. God does want to minister to us today, but we should be coming wanting to worship him and to care for our brothers, to love our brothers well. Some of the greatest work God does is bringing life and restoration in places of pain and death. And he often chooses to do that through relationships. It's incredible. But in the brotherhood and outside of the brotherhood, when there are meaningful relationships where Jesus is honored, there's often incredible healing and life that comes. So building Christ-centered relationships where we care well, we love well, and we show Jesus is one of the most meaningful and powerful ways we can be part of his kingdom's work. My heart's longing is that we here at Center would be a group of believers who know the Father and love and pursue his work above all else. And we can be mightily involved in his work as we focus on learning his heart, practicing intercessory prayer, and pursuing Christ-centered relationships. God wants to do amazing things in us and around us. And he is at work. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. It's small, but it grows and grows and grows. And the question is not whether the kingdom of God is going to grow here at Center or in Hutchinson. The question is whether you are going to accept the honor and the privilege of being part of it growing and actually joining in the work of our Father. And I praise God because I see so many here who have faithfully served our Father for years. And it's a blessing to be part of a community with a legacy of faithfulness. Jesus is coming again. One day, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. So let's live for that day. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that we can come to you because of his death. And today we proclaim his resurrection. We are gathered together to worship you and to proclaim that Jesus is risen. Father, we want to be part of your kingdom coming here. We want your kingdom to come in our lives, to come in Hutchinson, to come in Kansas, to come in the world. Father, we long for the day when you will return. But until that day, we wait and we choose to faithfully serve you and to be part of your kingdom. We love you. We choose to follow you. Pray this in Jesus' name.